Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks that you sent your Son into the world, the fullness of God in human form, a babe just like us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you lived a perfectly pure and sinless life, always doing the will of your Father. Help us this day to appreciate and to be eternally grateful for your saving mercy for us. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. When you think of the person highlighted in our gospel reading this morning, John the Baptist, what images come to your mind? A man with a strange diet of honey and locusts? A man who appears to be kind of caustic and edgy? A man who's always preaching a message of repentance? It is our goal as Christians to have an accurate understanding of the people mentioned in Scripture and not to have any false notions or caricatures about them. Having our minds transformed by God's Word, God's written Word and Christ's teaching is a lifetime assignment. We pray that God would clear away confusion in our understanding and application of His holy Word and Gospel. And so this morning we have John the Baptist highlighted, both his character and his message. Which brings me to my first point, and that is John's curious question. John the Baptist asked this question through his disciples to Jesus in Matthew 11, 2 through 4. Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? I call it a curious question and a surprising question because it is John who recognized Jesus as Messiah. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet in this passage, many people, many Christians, including myself, are puzzled by why He's asking the question, are you the Messiah, or should we expect someone else? Some church fathers believe John the Baptist was asking this question on behalf of his disciples. So they don't really think it was John's doubt, but his disciples' doubt. John the Baptist also spoke of Messiah in this way from Matthew 3, verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In this verse, John the Baptist rightly speaks of the judgment of God as the Messiah metes out justice. As I said in last week's sermon, it's not that judgment isn't a part of Messiah's work, but the question is, when? When will Messiah judge? And we know from the record of the New Testament, it's not at his first coming, but at his second coming. I use the illustration of the two mountain peaks, which look like they're right next to each other. And so it's no fault of the Old Testament believer that they thought Messiah's saving work and his judging work would happen in one coming. But from the record of the New Testament, we know those mountain peaks are far, far apart. As we look at the whole teaching of Jesus as Messiah, he will bring about universal judgment of all people at his second coming. And so perhaps John the Baptist is not understanding the distinction between Messiah's judgment and his saving work. He may be thinking, here I am languishing in prison. You're supposed to be judging your enemies. When's this going to happen? And perhaps in that light, he's thinking, Are you really the expected one, or is someone else going to come along and bring about both salvation of God's people and judgment on his enemies? And so John asked the honest question. But without a doubt, John was strengthened in his faith by our Lord's response. As we read over this whole passage, our Lord does not rebuke or chastise John for asking the question. In fact, later on, he commends John for his work of announcing the Lord's coming. Our Lord Jesus answers John's question in Matthew 11, 4 through 6. Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and are dead. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Every last one of these miracles by Matthew 11 has already been done by Jesus. He has given sight to the blind. He has caused the lame to walk. He has cleansed lepers. And yes, he has raised up the dead. And he preached the gospel to the poor. Not only to the economically poor, but to the spiritually poor, and that includes every single descendant of Adam's race. In saying this, Jesus reminds John and his followers of his miracles, which bear witness to the truth that Jesus is, in fact, Messiah, as prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures, including as a worker of miracles, in Isaiah 35 and 61. So whatever John's doubts are, he's trying to reassure him, yes, I am the expected one. That brings me to my second point, and that is John commended by our Lord. As I said already, Jesus is not harsh toward John about this question, but rather commends John. He speaks tenderly to a man who needs clarification about our Lord's identity. We see elsewhere in Scripture that God does not come down harshly on people who have moments of doubt and uncertainty about what God is doing. For instance, in Psalm 42, verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And so at moments like this in the life of God's people, when they have momentary doubts, where they ask of God, where are you? God doesn't crush them. He doesn't condemn them for asking the question. As Isaiah foretold of the Messiah in Isaiah 42, 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Isaiah here speaks of a dimly burning wick, the flame of a candle that has gone out into just a tiny spark of smoke. This represents a person with very little strength, faith, or hope in God left, but they still have a shred. They want to believe. They're crying out for God to help them to remain strong in their faith in God. God does not turn away from a person in their weakness who is barely trusting and holding on to their trust in God. And so he shows great patience and care with the person, and I believe this is the case with John the Baptist. Many Jewish religious leaders of the first century believed that the prophet Elijah would appear before the coming of Messiah. And they referenced the prophet Malachi chapter 4, where he says, behold, I am going to send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Our Lord Jesus quotes this very passage in Matthew 11, 13 through 15. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Though John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, is not Elijah personally, he fulfills the prophecies about one who comes in the spirit of Elijah. In fact, Luke picks up this same theme in Luke 1:17, where it says, "It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." While there may have been some confusion and misunderstanding in the first century that Elijah himself would return before the coming of Messiah, and John the Baptist denied he was Elijah in that sense, on the other hand, John did come in fulfillment of the one who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. He was a faithful prophet, a unique prophet who had the special message that Messiah is about to come. It won't be hundreds of years or tens of years. Messiah was present even as John was proclaiming his message. All this to say that the Lord commended John, who had a unique role in announcing Messiah's coming. In fact, Messiah was right there contemporary with John. And so John is the last of the Old Testament prophets faithfully proclaiming Messiah's coming, and he is commended by our Lord. That brings me to my third and final point, and that is John and Jesus' message rejected. Matthew 11:16-19 says this, "But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to the other children and say, 'We have played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Jesus is making a reference here to a common first century game that children played. The one game was divided into two parts. One group of children would play musical instruments at a wedding, and the other group of children would play musical instruments at a funeral. Our Lord draws a parallel to the Jewish religious leaders who reacted negatively both to John's message and Jesus' message. They critiqued John as being too austere and negative, reacting to John's message of repentance. And so they connected John's message as if he was playing the funeral dirge. And they criticized Jesus, on the other hand, as being too celebratory and welcoming unseemly and undeserving companions. He hangs out with tax collectors and sinners. And so John played the funeral dirge, and they didn't like that. Jesus was the wedding guest, and they didn't like him. You almost want to say, "Would you please make up your mind?" John came neither eating nor drinking. Throughout his whole life, he made a vow that he would not drink wine. Oh, he has a demon. Jesus came drinking wine. Oh, he's a drunkard. Would you please make up your mind? They rejected both people. John was too strict, they thought. Jesus was too lenient and joyful. And yet, for different reasons, they rejected the one message. John in preparation of Jesus, and Jesus himself. With childish immaturity, The religious leaders condemn John for not eating and drinking, but also condemn Jesus for eating and drinking. Nevertheless, Jesus says that wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. All who are truly wise acknowledge wisdom when they see it. And they will recognize God's wisdom in both John and Jesus as they observe wisdom at work in both of them. John was the forerunner going ahead of Jesus, announcing a message of repentance in preparation for Messiah's coming, while Jesus came as the promised Messiah, bringing salvation to all those who trust in him, in his life, death, and resurrection. The godly example of John the Baptist and the absolutely righteous life of Jesus Christ was written down for our instruction and encouragement. May we trust in Jesus as Messiah that John foretold. Jesus as the God-man who truly and always displayed the fullness of divine mercy, holiness, and wisdom. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the godly example of John the Baptist who was sent to prepare the way of your Son, our Savior. Help us by the Holy Spirit that we may patiently suffer for the sake of the truth of the gospel of Christ and proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.